Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory, glory, glory. It is good for us to be here. I'm so excited to be here today. And I'm happy to see you also together. Together we are in the presence of God to enjoy our God. Come on. Receive at His feet. Thank you, Father. So we are currently on a conversation. We've been talking about this for 3 hours, and this will be my 4th hour. So if you've missed, any of the previous 3 hours, you can get them online. They're on YouTube. They're on Mixel, Word Pastor. You can get them on our channel on Word Pastor on YouTube. Right, so you can get them and listen to them. You can go back to them; they are there. You can listen to them, and you can just join us. You know, we're talking about a believer's guide to God's good things. Right, Canaan. Canaan speaks of the things, the good things that God wants to give to us. Canaan speaks of God's promise to us. You know, and Canaan is a place, the land flowing with milk and honey. That's good. You would not need to build houses. You would get houses. You get stuff. I mean, given to you by God, freely given to us by God. And so that's what Canaan speaks of. And we've been trying to look at simple steps we can take, simple things we can do. Just steps, rather, not say simple. I'm not saying simple, but steps that we can take to receive God's good things in our lives. Steps to take. I showed you 2 weeks ago. We said this is not a step of faith, but really there are steps of faith. And so we're looking at these steps, and we're trying to through the course of this teaching find the place where maybe in our lives we are missing a step. Come on, we're in our lives, we are out of step. We could be taking this step and taking that step, but we are missing one step. And so through the course of these teachings, we'll be talking about things. We'll be looking at the children of Israel, how they moved from Egypt and got to Canaan. The Bible says they got all the good things that God promised them. And so we want to look at how they did it. We'll look at how they missed it, where they missed it. I think they missed it more of the time. So they missed it more of the time, and where they got it, they got some points right, and so we'll look at that, right? And that's what we have been looking at, and we've talked about 4 things or 5 things. And can you help me today? So you're in church, you're taking notes. If you're taking notes, it's beautiful, because these notes you might not need to review them. And so point number one, we said Canaan is God's idea. He promised a promised land, not a deserved land. He promised it to you, so it's God's idea. I'll give it to you. And that's Canaan. It's God's promise to you. And God has promised us, we had exceeding great and precious promises, the Bible says. So there are a lot of things that God has given to us. Good things that God has given to us. He has promised them to us because of Jesus Christ, through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, you see that now. It is through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that we receive these promises. Not because we are good, not because of something we have done, but because of Jesus Christ. He gave us all these promises in Christ Jesus. Come on, say in Christ. In Christ. We have these promises in Christ. So it's not in us, it's in Christ Jesus. Jesus says, this is the blood of the new covenant. This is my blood. It's the blood of the new covenant. It's my blood. It's not your blood. It's the covenant they had with God. And we got into the covenant because we simply believed. Come on. We simply believed. We got into the covenant because of belief. I believe in Jesus Christ. He is my Lord and Savior. And so I got into the covenant, and so I have these promises. Exceeding great and precious promises. And point number two, come on. There's a disconnect. It's as if there's a disconnect between the promise and our present condition. It's as if, do you see who you are giving these promises to? I mean, you're promising me all this stuff, and I'm very far. And we said, listen, with God, there's no advantage or disadvantage, right? There's no advantage or disadvantage. He has promised you, and because the God who promised you is also what? Come on, faithful to what? To perform. The God who promised is also faithful to perform. And so you just relax and rely on the promise. You hear the promise, you believe the promise, and you accept the promise. You connect with it. You say, be it unto me according to your promise. I'm not qualified. I will not be all that. I might seem to be very far from me, that it looks impossible. It looks impossible. But remember, with God, light and darkness are about that the same thing. Not about, sorry. He said the light and the darkness are the same to you. I mean, whether you are deep down in there or you are up there, with God is the same thing. So he said, I promised you. Don't worry. I saw you. I know you before I gave you the promise. And now you are slaves and I'm telling you, you own houses. He said, I'm not even a free man. I need to first of all get a job. You think that you have to first of all get to a point. With God, it's not about point A to point B. You can move from point A to point D, point A to point Z. You just jump. You see, they that wait upon the Lord, he renews their strength. They'll mount up wings as eagles. They'll soar. They'll take off. When others are cast down, they are lifted up. They just continue to go. They're flying because of the grace and power of God. Amen? So don't disconnect yourself. The beginning is the problem. The very first point where a lot of people disconnect themselves from the promise of God is not possible. They just will not believe it. But blessed is she. Come on. Blessed is she that believeth. For there shall be a performance of those things that is spoken to her of the Lord. Amen? And point number three. Can I go? I'm probably not using my notes. If I look at my notes, we will leave this place. Point number three. Come on. The work begins with prayer. When we get the promise, we need to take the promise now and then begin to pray. We need to take the promise and begin to pray. Sometimes we get the promise and go and sleep. No, you begin to pray. It's in that place of prayer that you begin to, that he pours down, that you enter into the promise. You begin to enjoy the promise. And so without prayer, the promise looks distant and shadowy. But when you are praying, the promise looks alive. Your faith is built in the place of prayer. In the place of prayer, you see, and you are praying, is that your faith is built, and it's a sign of faith, right? That the God who promised is able to what? Perform. So guess what? I'm going to talk to the God. I receive a promise from the God, and I just walk away and go and try to perform it by myself. That is where a lot of Christians miss it. So I receive a promise from God. That would mean that I will go to the God because precisely because I believe that he's able to perform it. But if I know and I feel I don't believe he's able to perform it, there will be no point talking to him again. I'll just say, okay, I hear you, and I'll walk away. Come on. I just walk away. I hear you. Because I don't believe. There's no point. There's no point to pray when we don't believe. But when we believe, it's a sign. When we pray, it's a sign of our belief. Are you here? And so when we pray, listen, as I said, the promise becomes alive. Because in the place of prayer, your faith is built up. So yeah. Your faith is built up, because as you are talking to God about it, your faith is built up because you are spending time with him and he's showing you pictures and you are repositioning yourself to the place where you can actually receive the promise. So prayer actually is an act of faith. Prayerlessness means I don't believe. I'm going to go by myself. I'm going to do it in my own strength, might and power. But prayer says that he who promised is also able to perform it. So I'm not going to try to perform it by myself. I received a promise from God. I'm going to go to God and say, God, perform it. Because you are able to perform it. But if I say you're not able to perform it, then there'll be no point talking to him. It'll be a waste of time. So if you're not praying, you're not talking to God, it just means that you don't really believe he's able to perform it. And now you hear a promise in your head. It's in your spirit. It comes into your heart. And guess what? You want to go and perform it by yourself. See, there's a dream. See, I have a dream. Don't do the dream by yourself. Come on, he who gave you the dream, right, is able to bring it to pass. So you go to him. Don't start running around the whole place. Amen. Amen. Point number four. All right. Yeah, the fulfillment of God's promise will always require people to come into your life, right? You were adding some sentences to his... Okay, we went into your life. Okay, yeah, I said that. Okay, so people just said fulfillment of God's promise will require people, and they stop there. And so I have one faithful student taking good notes, rest of you bad notes. I'll set it an exam. Fulfillment of God's promise will require people to dash. You now say they didn't teach us. Enter into your life. They're not gonna listen to me. I know why that's important. They're not gonna be around you, they're gonna enter into your life. It's important. Don't play with that. They have to be in your life. You have to allow them to enter into your life. They have to speak into your life. They have to guide you. You have to come in and say something and say that. Because sometimes we don't mind when they are around us. But when it gets into our lives, I draw the boundaries. You can't enter my life. You can be there. So there's a difference. They have to enter into your life. They have to come into your situation. Listen to me. Moses entered into the situation. He was not in the situation. No. He was by himself. They were by themselves. But when he came, he decided to say, let my people go. Guess what happened? When number five happened, he entered into say, "What? Who asked you to enter into this matter? Before we and Pharaoh, we had an understanding. Now you entered into our matter and you spoiled everything. So you require people to actually enter. If they don't enter, really, you stop them from entering, there will be no change. And God had to speak to Moses to come in to do his bidding. I found David a man after my own heart who will execute all my will. God has a will, needs to be executed through a man. Are you still here? And so they will enter into your life and they will speak to you. And I told you, I said something very powerful. To show you how important it is that they needed somebody, after Moses, God raised Joshua. After Joshua, they had judges. But they kept on having people in front of them to lead them into the things that God has in store for them. So we will say almost Moses brought them out. Joshua took them in. But they had somebody. Point number 5. Where were we? Point number 5. Things are not always what they seem. That's the beautiful one. This is another point where people can cast off the promises of God. Because things are not always what they seem. And things got bad. Things got bad initially. Things started to go down for them. Things began to go south before it began to actually turn. So many of times you receive God's promise, you believe, you pray, you do all that. And the first thing is that it moves from fry pan to fire. And then somebody says, all this thing is nonsense. Then he throws it away. He was almost at the point of receiving his promise. Because all the glory must go to God. He strips you first of all of all your power. He strips you first of all your glory. He strips you first of all from everything from which you can boast from and say, it is I that did this thing. So he gets you to a place and he knocks off all your armor. Then you are not like, everything is what? And then some people cast off. No, there you say, Lord, this is you. I know this is you. And the devil will come at you and then he hit you and then you just begin to see the power of God come into you. The Bible says, they that observe lying vanities, they forsake their own mercy. Can you look at Mark chapter number 16 for me? Mark chapter number 16. I'm going to do a brief recap on point number 5. And I will not be wrong. We stopped at point number 5, right? Alright. Mark chapter number 16. Immediately Moses showed up, they were on their way to victory. Joshua, we had the same story there. We had the same story with Joshua with Joseph. We had the same story with Joseph. And he went, got the vision, went to became a slave, went to prison, and then came out from there. And we see in Mark chapter number 16 and verse number 21. Mark chapter number 16 and verse number 21. The Bible says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer some things of the elders, that's not enough, and the chief priests and scribes, and then what? And be killed, and then be raised again the third day. So he first of all goes down, and then it begins to go up. It's Jesus says, that's how I must go. I'm going to go this way. And so you look at him going this way, and you say, we thought it was he. We thought it was he. That was going to be the savior of Israel. We thought it was him, but now he died. So now that he died, we feel it's all over, but it's not all over at all. Do not observe lying vanities. They that observe lying vanities, they forsake their own mercy. That is point number 5. Right? And we said things do not always appear the way they seem. It looks as though we are off right now, even in our Christian faith, in our Christian walk. But the truth is that we are not. We are the victors in Christ Jesus. Come on, we are victors in Christ Jesus. We have everything. I mean, we are heirs of God. We are joint heirs with Christ. We are joint heirs with Christ. We are anointed. But you see, but they seem to be better than us. No. Things don't always appear the way they seem. Hallelujah. You must understand and stand in your faith. Don't let the devil cheat you. Don't let the devil cheat you. He always makes things just cast off. Things go wrong, first of all. And then many people they cast off their faith. And then they lose the promises of God for their lives. You must stand there. That's one of the things you must learn as a Christian. I mean, one of the strongest things you must learn. At destruction and famine, the Bible says, thou shalt laugh. It's very important to learn. You know, we can just teach that in person and go, but I mean, it's very powerful. I have a teaching I have not yet done. I went to do that years ago. Believers in the face of adversity. I mean, that believers in the face of adversity. I didn't design the fires. I just never fell into our calendar. Very powerful. If you can learn that, what happens in the face of adversity? I mean, if you can learn how to act in the face of adversity, you've defeated the devil. You see, you defeat the devil. Amen. But we can't stay there. I did some work last week. That's the fifth point. And today I'm going to start off on our sixth point. Your obedience will be required. Sixth step. Let's take them as steps, please, not points. The sixth step. Your obedience would be required. Obedience will be required. Or there are definitely going to be instructions from God to you. Your obedience will be required. So let's go to Exodus chapter number 12. We're just following the story all that way. Exodus chapter number 12. So I want to show you that point where it comes to. So we see after that, let my people go. Things went south. They went all that way. But God said, relax. I'm doing all these things because I want to show my mighty power. So don't worry. And they were crying. They were crying and they were feeling bad that things got worse for them. But things began to turn when the plagues began to land. So in chapter number 12, we get to the end of the plagues, right? And then in chapter number 11, I think we already have the plague of the firstborn. He had already spoken to Moses about it. And then in chapter number 12, from verse number 1, we're going to read some passages, a little long passage. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt. Are we together? This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. Next verse. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Next verse. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two sides of the post and on the upper doorpost of the house wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, right, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. The thing I enjoyed everything he said. I could manage every other thing he said. Till bitter herbs. I didn't mind. Roasted meat, you enjoy it. You know, and all that. The idea of the blood and you keep the lamb without blemish, those instructions there, you see those instructions there, do that. I think, you can't deliver us or you don't deliver us. We'll leave the other one inside. People miss this. This is a very, very important point. They can't deliver us. You want to remove one lamb. I get like 8. Okay, sorry, 8 is good. I get like 3. 3 lamb. 3. Only 3. In my difficulties. Now, you remove one. My kill lamb. We'll kill lamb. Then, okay, I can remove one. I'm showing you the instructions. Then the next thing is, you take the blood. I don't mean they dirty my house like that. The blood, smelly blood, stinking blood. But there's my house. Up, down, down, down. Then, okay, we'll roast the meat. Oh, that part, God makes sense. We'll chop on. Then they give pastor. We'll chop on. You like that part of me? All right. I probably said that. We'll chop it. Now, we'll chop on. Yes, now you chop on. No problem. Then you chop the meat. Then, I don't know about you, but when it gets to roll fire, unleavened bread, we are used to it. We use that one small. Why can we not use pumpkin leaf, ugu? Why we use bitter leaf? Okay, see, guy, I'm sharp. I know what I'll do. When everybody's using bitter herbs, leave. Come on. Leave not leaf. Then he says, with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Leave now, leave. I know you use bitter herbs. Many a times we are walking with God, we have prayed to God, we have sought Him for our deliverance, then He gives us an instruction. He gives us instructions, and then somehow we do not follow the instructions. Somehow we want to do the things we want to do, and this becomes a problem. So please, brothers and sisters, you have to work with me here. Tell me, if somebody now decided to use normal leaves, not bitter herbs, what do you think will happen? Disobedience to the instruction of God. This is what God. This is how God says we should do it. Wait, bitter leaves, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. But really, this is what he wants us to do. So we have to do it. That disobedience here, that thing where it's not actually like black disobedience. It's white disobedience. Why disobedience? Because we do everything and mix it in our own way. I will do church, I will do this, but there's a way I know to do it. We'll tinker with it a little bit, and then we'll change the recipe. Like now, instead of roasting it, the guy says, okay, we've not even read there. He said they should not put inside water. That boil and small, may taste sweet. Not even chopper. But at first I killed the lamb, I chopper. Now the same thing. I don't like roasted meat. Come on. And then next one, let's keep on reading. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with what? Fire. His head with his leg and with the putting thereof. That you must roast. Don't touch it. I mean, madam, mama, you boil and small. Now me and God, now I know what they do. You understand? Me and God don't boil and small. Put maggi, sauce and where? Maybe like pepper soup. After you boil and make the sauce enter, then you roast it. Christians, I'm telling you, this small simple instruction you see here, this is the Passover. We talk about Passover a lot, but this is the Passover instructions. They were not necessarily interesting. And then next verse, let's read. I think we'll read on and I'll come and annotate. Next verse. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning, they shall burn with fire. Specific instructions for every area of the thing there. Next verse. Thus you shall eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat in a haste. God, if you want to eat this sweet, delicious roasted meat, you wear belts. You wear belts. God, how about you eat and lose your belt? You know what I'm talking about. You lose your belt. God, this instruction self. The thing is that the instructions are not difficult. They're not just interesting. He says, my burden is light. These things are not difficult. Everything here, they're not difficult, but they're not interesting. You know, many a times we say God is working in my situation. Come on. I think you've heard that a lot. God is working in your situation. God is working in your situation. That is true. But you must remember that we are co-laborers together with God. God is working with me in my situation, and I will come out of it. God is working and I am working. He gives you that little portion to do. Simple instruction. My question to you, brothers and sisters, is that if an Israelite did not do this instruction, what do you think would happen? Come on. He will be left alone in Egypt. He will continue to suffer in Egypt. He would even die and suffer mishap. And then you say, I thought I was serving God. If he is said to tinker it a little bit and used a normal leaf, sweet leaf, right? Or instead to just boil it first so the sauce can enter the meat before he roasts it and says it's the same thing. What do you think will happen? Come on. Listen, these guys have gone. It's our time now. Think about what I'm telling you now. Simple thing. And today, if you hear his voice, the Bible says, harden not your heart. You need to open your heart to his instructions. He will speak to you. He will say, begin to sweep church. As funny, those things are not really hard. They just don't make sense. They don't seem to connect. He will say, give an extra. Or this person, give to this person. Or do this. He will speak funny, simple instructions to your heart. You know, sometimes you've gone 1 mile. He says, go extra 1 mile. And he's like, I've gone 1 mile. It's not a big deal. I can actually go more miles. But why? You know, it doesn't really just connect. It doesn't really seem to make sense. But let me tell you what we must do. We must do his instructions. It's very important. I want to move you quickly to John chapter number 2. John chapter number 2. Whatever he says for you to do, do it. There's a nudging of the Holy Spirit. There are the instructions that come into your heart. Now, these instructions I'm speaking about, they are not chapter and verse instructions. Please, you have to stay with me. This is very important. I might just do only this. So stay. Very important. They're not chapter and verse instructions. They can be chapter and verse to you, but they're not specific for all of us, just like in this case. In your particular situation, and he wants to move you from this place to another place, he will definitely give you instructions. He wants to work something in your life, he will definitely give you instructions. Go and wash in the pool of Siloam. Come on. You can't say, my brother, bring water, let me wash. So imagine that guy again, say, bros, bring one jug of water, let me wash my eyes. He said, go and wash in the pool. It is a specific instruction. We must learn to follow God's instructions. We must learn to follow the nudging of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. The nudging of the Holy Spirit. He just says, right now, I'm giving you examples as well. He just says, give this person 2,000 naira. Come on. 2,000 naira. You could probably give 5. Or you could want to give 1. He says, give this person 2,000 naira. You just obey that 2,000 naira instruction. He said, now I've multiplied all my goodness in your life. He just speaks to you like that. 2,000. Why 2,000? I don't know. But listen, he speaks to you specifically. He nudges you in your heart. And let me tell you, all believers have these nudgings in their heart. I'm only telling you now that you must learn to obey those nudgings. Those instructions that seem to be difficult because, not because they are difficult, but because they don't make sense. Now, again, imagine, you want to deliver us. We are killing a lamb or a goat. What concerns this lamb and goat concerns our deliverance? It is God that knows that part. Come on. This one is hard again. Once it gets to obedience, believers need to see this thing. Because we want to go our own way and get God's deliverance. He says, I want to deliver you. I came down to deliver you, but you must obey my instructions. If you not obey the instructions, you can be in Egypt for long. Till the day you stand up and obey the instructions. That nudging in your heart. It could be many things. This thing that you love so much, take it, go and give it. He did it to Abraham. This son, take, give it. Then he began to swear. I want to do something. I want to see you. I want you to take a step. I take a step. Come on. I've done so much for you. Now, take a step. I want to take you to the next level. And many times we miss the instructions of God. We do not follow them. We disobey them. We do not follow God's instructions. And I want to show you something particularly from this John chapter number 2 concerning obedience. I've done a whole series on obedience sometime last year, I think. And you can get the message and the door of obedience. The obedience, the door that unlocks the door, unlocking the door of heaven or something like that. So you try and get that. In John chapter number 2, the Bible says, and both Jesus was called and disciples to the marriage, you know, the wedding at Cana. In verse number 3, please go on. Verse number 3. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Next verse. Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour is not yet come. Next verse. His mother said unto the servants, whatsoever is said unto you, do it. Right? Now, I'm not going further. Whatsoever I said unto you, do it. Now, from this point, we've always done the, like, again, now I am on the do it, the do it, do it, do it. But really, the do it is, if we look at this thing carefully, you know, the meditation I'm preparing for this meeting is when it opened my heart to see that it's not, the do it is not the hard part. The hard part is the whatsoever. For many of us, for all of us, the doing is not the hard part. We will do it. It is the whatsoever that is the problem. What did you say? Is that whatsoever? There are boundaries, there are lines. There's a way you should go. The do is not the hard part. Why don't we do it? The doing is the easy part. The reason why we don't do it is because of the whatsoever. Listen, she said, you didn't get that. I mean, they tell you whatsoever. Do you know that? You know what that means? Anything. Eh? Eh? Did you say that? Anything. When you say anything, the check is blank. He literally can ask you to do anything. He can ask you to eat bitter herbs. And me, I don't like bitter herbs. I hate needles. So, imagine I'm working with a God that can ask me anything. Now says, now, they will bring needle and pierce your left hand. Eh? So when I get anything, the blanket, anything, I say, let's write the list of anything. Come on, can we make a list of anything? We want to draw anything, but we want to put it inside a cage so that we can know what the anything will be. Brothers and sisters, we don't know what the anything will be. Anything he says for you to do, do it. So the real thing is whatsoever. That's the real thing. The do it is not the hard part. We're always telling people, do it, do it, do it. But it's not the do it that's the hard part. It is the whatsoever. Are you still here? The instructions the instructions. There'll be instructions given to you. There'll be nudges in your heart. Do this thing. You know. I've not heard it. Maybe direct. It's not direct, but we've heard the story. This person began to sweep church, and the Lord said something like that, and they all began to do something. And then you see the power of prayer, and you see the power of the power after that, the actions taken and all that. But the whatsoever is funny. I mean, what connects this to what I'm talking about? It says do these things. The things he's asked you to do, they seem to be. The truth is that they are actually easy. The problem is that they are whatsoever. That's the real problem. You never ask us to do something very hard. I'll give you a real practical case. Like in this case, for example, in the case of the Passover, these things were not really hard. You just want to tinker a little bit on this because it's not what I like. Come on. I don't like roasted meat. Medically they'll tell you that it could contain some microorganisms, germs, some worms. Unless you boil it, you can't eat it. Come on. I don't like bitter herbs. And if you are like my wife, you want to boil the meat first, let the sauce enter, and leave it overnight in the fridge so that the sauce will enter, then you fry the next morning. Did not tell her to don't eat it like that. And I don't like bitter herbs. My own is small. She hates bitter herbs. You see, I said I don't like, she hates it different. So instructions come. They're not really that hard. It's just that we don't like them. You say you give the instruction to the person according to what he likes. No, it is whatsoever. The whatsoever that we are not obeying could be the reason why we are still stuck in Egypt. The whatsoever. The do it is easy. He says whatsoever. Brothers and sisters, I mean this is tough. I know this is going to be tough. But are there things in your life or things that the Lord will request of you or things he will tell you to do that you will say no? If there are, you need to stop today and consider whether it is those things that are still keeping you in Egypt. Whether it is at this point. Now, you've done everything to point number 6, but it's at this point now that you are aborting God's promise for your life. Because you think. Sometimes we think so much. We think that there's a better way to do it. Come on. Whatsoever he saith unto you. I mean, that thing is too heavy. And we say, do it. You have to do it. No. The Lord tells me. He says, see, this thing, look at it clearly. The whatsoever is the tough part. You do it is the easy part. And we think they're not doing it. The only reason why you're not doing it is because it's whatsoever. If he says, for example, tells you to do something that you like doing already, you do it now. You do it. If he says, okay, just imagine God says, this Passover, just imagine, cook jollof rice. You unleash all manner. And why didn't God just say they should cook meat and eat it? Why did he have to specify? You have a role to play in your deliverance. He specifies your obedience is necessary. He says, do these things as I want you to do them. He's your Lord and he's your master. I want to show you something very practical in 2 Kings chapter number 5. We miss it at the point where we say God is working. God is working in your life. God is working in your situation. God is working behind the scene. Brothers and sisters, are you still here? I want to say something. God is walking behind the scene. Guess who is walking in front of the scene? I'll go again. God is walking behind the scene. Who is walking in front? Come on. You are walking in front. Behind the scene, there's a mighty covering. In front of it, they are killing lambs. I don't have a church today. Today might not be the day, but it's good enough. I think I'm doing my best. Behind the scene, there's a covering. The front of the scene, there are lambs and goats being slaughtered. There are blood splattered. All those is in front of the scene. Behind the scene, God is covering them. How this connects to this is not your business. It is his business. And when we leave the front of the scene and say, we're not going to do what he says for us to do, we are spoiling something behind the scene. Something is going bad there. And so he can't walk freely because we're not doing our part. There's a disobedience there. He says, give this, do this, begin to do this, start doing this, pick up this stuff. I try my best to walk with God like this. Because he will ask for simple, he will tell you to do simple things. I don't like it. I don't want to do this, but he says, do this. As you are doing this, I will be doing this. And so there's an error when we say God is walking in your life. He's walking behind the scene. You are in front doing some things there. Thank you. That's powerful. You have to get that part. You have to get that part. You must get that stuff. All right. I'm steering the car. Come on. That's what you can see, right? But who's powering that? What's powering that car? The engine. The engine is powering that car. I'm just staring. There's something there. There's something here. And then we are walking together. That's how it works. The God is all powerful. And he says, you do this. Say, turn to the left. You say, I don't feel like turning to the left. I don't think turning to the left is the best thing to do. No matter how powerful your engine is, you go in the wrong direction. Because you are steering that thing. And so it gives you specific instructions. Specific. Go with specific for your very situation. Are you still here? For your very situation. So we're not going to do lamps and roasted stuff and all that. We're going to do, like I said, I don't know. I don't know what he will say to you, but whatever he says for you to do. I mean, sincerely, for lack of words, do it. Whatever he says for you to do, I would advise you to do it. That's one way to leave, to get out of Egypt. That's one step you need to get out of Egypt. If you don't do it, you might never get out. He's speaking to your heart. I know. He told me. I speak to all my children. Just that they don't really just do it. And then he began to show me the why. He said the real why is because it's whatsoever. Because I ask for them to do something that they don't like. And a lot of them say they want to do the things that they like. In the front end. And the back end, I'm working, but if they get the front end wrong and doing that stuff there, then there's nothing I can do. Come on. I just started to look at Collins just now. And just imagine, I know he's a developer. So you develop a software, you do something like that. And you always talk about back end. He's the one that always made me take back end. And so he said they do this e-gov something, back end, front end. So imagine they do all the work well. And they are saying, they ask for a place where they ask for name. You are writing numbers. You know that number won't go through. If you click enter there, it won't work because it knows that it has to be alphabet, not numbers. So you keep doing that in the front end, and you call the developer. Hello, you wrote this thing. This program is not working. See, the back end is good. The front end there. I mean, say there's front end. That's front end. I made it. I don't know what that's front. I know there's back end. I don't know. And the front end there, you are putting the wrong. You say, okay, what are you doing? I'm trying to write. I wrote the 52 on that place. Have you tried to send money to somebody? And where you are supposed to put account number, you are writing name. It won't work. It won't work. It's not built that way. Will you have money in your account? Can the bank fulfill your request? But where's the error here? You are doing what you like. You say, I want to write the name there. It's name I want to write. You can't write name there. That is the front end, and you have a role to play in your deliverance. So God is working on the scene, but you are working also on the front end. God is working in my life. And so am I. And so am I. I'm working also. I'm working with God by my obedience. 2 Kings chapter number. Can we look at chapter number 9? Can we move to chapter number 9? Disobedience is always something in the body of Christ. I don't know in the church. But please, you have to pay attention. This is important. Very important. 2 Kings chapter number 9. Now, Naaman the captain. Chapter number 5, verse number 9. So God is walking. Is God walking? You know, the back end, he was going to pass over them. I always say, the Passover is more of you're going to cover them. The back end. That was going to happen. He was setting that to happen. But in the front end, they have to kill that lamb. They have to roast it. They have to eat it with bitter herbs. And they have to be wearing their clothes. Come on, they want to eat, pull on, I'll wear suits. Just imagine I wear triple suit, wear tie. And I'm eating roasted meat with bitter herbs. And I'm holding my staff with one hand. He said, do all that. He said, why? Don't ask why. Whatsoever he says for you to do, do it, and you will surely get into a miracle in your life. Learn that. Learn it. People are walking and missing miracles in their life because they just tinker with it, or they say, this is where I stop. This is how far it can go. So Naaman came with his horses. Please, very important. Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Next verse. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times. You say again, 2 times, go and wash in the Jordan. No specific instruction. No, not with God though. Specific instruction. So God is speaking to your heart. I know. Specific instruction. That's how he talks to me. You know, we're doing some stuff and God says, wait. I want to do it. He says, wait. Why wait? I don't really know why, but I just wait. Sincerely. Sometimes look at those, he says, wait, don't do it. I don't know. If you say why, I don't know. No, I just say what they do. Well, he says, I should wait. I've just learned to obey him. It's just like that. You get a lot of things, he just speaks to your heart and directs you. Very important you learn to follow instructions. And he says, watch seven times. Jordan, seven times. I mean, he could say, go back to Syria, use the Pafa River. That's what the guy was complaining about. And then, watch seven times. And thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Jordan seven times. Next verse. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leprosy. Like this. I thought he would do this. Brothers and sisters, stop. Stop, please. The thing he asked Naaman to do, was it hard? The reason why he would not do it is not because it was hard. It was because he didn't like it. So the real reason why believers are not doing God's word, following God's will, is not because the thing that God asks us is hard. It's because we don't like it. Hey. It is the whatsoever. The do it is usually not hard. The thing God ever, everything that God will ask of you, they are not really hard. Never. I'm telling you, look at it. His issue here, I mean, this is case a case of a whatsoever. You should go, if you have gone there with a whatsoever, anything the man says I should do, I will do it. But the whatsoever, he still drew a boundary around it and said, this is what I will expect him to do. Now, in this story, I know it's a common story, but it's a perfect one for my example. In this story, you see that he moves from one place to another. He says, first of all, that I thought he would come out and do this. Then the next verse, look at it again. He says, are not Abana and Phapa rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? So he left the strike his hand, come out and strike his hand. He's now also complaining about the water. This one, I don't know better than all the waters in Israel. May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in what? In rage. He would have been like if he was in Egypt. And will not enter into his Canaan, which was his healing here, curing of the leprosy. Right? Why? Because the thing that the prophet asked him was hard? No. It's not hard. It was not hard. The servants even knew too. They said, see, if they had asked you to do a hard thing, the truth is that probably you would have done it. It's not because the things are hard. I mean, I taught obedience in my life. I've been in ministry. Please get this. I mean, when he began to speak to me clearly, I saw the real thing. It's not because the things are hard. It's because of us. With the whatsoever. He said, this is the whatsoever in that sentence that was the issue. The thing is that he doesn't need anything from you. So he can ask anything that now becomes complicated. He says, the whatsoever. Yes, he doesn't really need anything. So he can say, I'll help you. Give me your biro. If you say ask something else, I can't give you my biro. That's what we do. Not because it's hard, it's just we don't like it. It's the worst of the issue. And so he goes away in rage. He faces a first problem. You are all here sitting down now. If somebody had a leprosy and you say to this person, go to the River Jordan, dip seven times, you will expect normal, sane person to just go and do that. So, dipping in the river seven times, was it a hard thing? Dipping in the Jordan River seven times, was it a hard thing? The issue there was the whatsoever. He told me, I'm not, you know, the Lord speaks, he just speaks to me. He said, look at Mary. I said, you missed that. He said, you miss it. You start saying, do it. And you never ever stress the whatsoever. Because the truth is that I can ask anything. Anything. Never ever stress the whatsoever. So we don't tell believers, do the word of God, do it. No. We should tell them whatsoever. If he told them to pack sand and put inside that jar. You know, water seemed to make sense a little. To them, that one too was tough. You see. Are you here? Can you begin to deal with your whatsoever? In the instructions to Canaan, instructions given to you, you have to do the whatsoever. You might do things you don't like. in those instructions, just I could be funny, but maybe one or two of you too might have some things against the instructions like that. Killing of the lamb, killing the goat, shutting your livestock. What about if you had one? That's why people are trying to be emotional about giving and say, you don't say giving, giving. What about a pressure? I mean, what about a family that had just one? Okay, what about two? Just two. Come on. Without blemish. Without some spots, uncle. Is it without blemish? And you have just two. And it's only one without blemish. Or you have just one. And it says, this is how we deliver you. Say, no. What about the killing? It's all one issue or the other with all those instructions. What about wearing the clothes? But there are instructions that you must obey. Come on. There are instructions that you must obey. And so, now we come back to Naaman. He goes away. He walks away in rage. And the thing asked of him to do, the whatsoever in this case, was very simple. Very simple. Again, we take a step further. Instructions. I'm just trying to help you here. Follow instructions. We take a step further. He goes to Jordan. Let's say he manages to go to Jordan. He now chooses 3 times is the perfect number. For me, 3 times is okay. What about 6 times? Come on. Why not the river that the man preferred? Why does God like trouble? It would have been easier for him to just say, which river do you like? Then he says, Abana or Fapa River. Then he says, okay, go deep. How many times do you like to dip? He says, once, I like a once sweeping miracle. Once, it will be more powerful. Then you say, go your way. But now he gives him specific instructions. Brothers and sisters, there are specific instructions for your deliverance. You need to follow them. Come on. Specific instructions for your deliverance. You need to follow them. The God that is working in the back end and fixing all those stuff, he tells you this is what you must do on the front end. You cannot do otherwise. You cannot say, I like it this way. I'm telling you. You have to learn that. All these things that we like and things we want to do, we must stop them. He doesn't give us instructions according to what we like. He doesn't ask us what we like first, then gives you instructions accordingly. He tells you, do this, do that. I mean, you could literally say anything. Are you here? Anything, because it's whatsoever. Remember, it's whatsoever. Anything. The instructions, they differ for all of us. They differ all the time. So what do we do? We do it. We should do it. Deal with the whatsoever. Deal with the whatsoever. Let go of this thing. Come on. For Abraham, he gave him a son and said, sacrifice his son to me. Whatsoever I ask of you. That's the whatsoever. Whatsoever I ask for you to do, come on, that's tough. You see, can we use Ishmael? Can we give Ishmael? Okay, yeah, thank you, Pastor. I'll give Ishmael and 1,000 sheep. And you can't play God all those things. That's the thing. I'll give Ishmael and 1,000 sheep. And keep this. And then he will say, oh, single, single. Job say, I'm telling you, Lord, praise the Lord. You Ishmael, come. Do the 1,000 sheep. And you say, I will leave Egypt in the name of Jesus. Kalabalaba. You'll be there. And you'll be wondering why. Disobedience. Nothing will happen. Because the front end, back end, they must align. Can two work together except they be in agreement? They have to be agreed. The way the Passover, the spirit, the anointing, the whatever it is that we don't know, we cover. It is true that blood, roasted meat, it will pass from the blood, roasted meat, to the one in your stomach. And you people don't stop. The problem with the difference when you stop and you just relate to the Lord and you're not in a hurry, you're not dealing with God like one way, you've talked about a lot of things. He did not say they should kill the lamb and put the blood there. They should eat it also. What is the connection? What is the connection between the blood on the blood is already on the doorpost, Abby? How is it now in your stomach? What does your stomach have to do with any of these things? What does the bitter herbs have to do with any of these things? I know you thought that the deliverance was in the blood only. No, the eating it roasted, the bitter herbs was inside also. Today is not flying, but it's an obedience message. I know. Obedience message is always like that. Because there are things now that come into your mind. You are saying, hey, God, don't catch me. And it's catching you right now. Amen. May he catch everybody. This thing, remove it. You do as if you're not here. You're just really not here. That thing, give it. No, it's the devil. Bind every spirit of the devil speaking to me. What's the connection? We don't see the connection, but you don't have to see the connection. You don't have to see the connection. You don't have to see the connection. It's not the blood. It was not just the blood. They had to eat it in a certain way. They had to eat it with a certain leaf. Because we stop and we are a little bit superficial and we just say it's the blood. We didn't miss the instruction. It's the instruction. You have to follow the instructions. And they are usually not hard, like I've said. They're not difficult things. It's because we don't like them. Naaman just didn't like. He first of all didn't like the fact that the man didn't come out. The next thing, he didn't like the fact that it was this river. It could be any river, but he chose Jordan. He chose 7 times and he said, do it like that. Whatsoever. Come on. We say whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Whatsoever I say for you to do, do it. That whatsoever is say whatsoever. Do it. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you,
your obedience will be what? Required. God is working in your life. So you say amen to that. Then you say, me too, I'm working with God. Are you working with God?
Yes,
you do your own part.
The river didn't
heal the man. It was God. But the front end was Jordan. Come on, that river. I don't understand. They say you prosper. I don't understand this giving. Okay, how does this giving? Connect it for me. Connect it. Connector. It's the same thing I will ask a tech person. How come I'm pressing my phone here? And it's working like this there. And you are getting these things. How about you send money to somebody before? The money actually left your account. No, I mean, some of you might be young. That might be tough for you. For some of us that had to go to the bank and feel a slip. They had to press computer in your front with your money there and move it there. They remove it there. And you say, post it immediately, please. It's urgent. They post it in the person's account immediately. The person receives it. That is the only way it will work. Now, the app does not know me. The app doesn't know stuff. How does the app now know? Now, I can remove money from my account, pay it to somebody else. And it's doing all that kind of stuff. How does that work? I don't understand this. But that's how it works. That's what they say I should do. And so, what do you do? Exactly the way you should do it. That's also, you don't try to connect all those things. Why did God say they should eat bitter herbs? He said, Pastor, okay, answer this question. I have a question for you. Why did they eat bitter herbs? You know, in the Greek word for bitter, I don't care. The truth, I'm not joking. He said, we can study and find the reason why. Because people try to do Bible study. They do Greek and they tell you the reason the bitter herbs has a meaning. The bitter herbs means the bitterness is gone for your life. The roasting means fire will burn your enemies. The eating everything means that you'll be full in your stomach. The blood is Jesus Christ that died. See, truth, like my own Christianity, I really don't care about many of those things. Whatsoever I say I should do, I'll just do it. You go ask the developer, why are you saying I should write capital letter? Are you trying to put in a password, create a password for some stuff, and they'll say it must be this character, this character, this character? Is it their password? You know, sincerely, I've been angry many times, and I'm not joking. And I think they should change that nonsense. I'm saying it publicly, I don't care. If anybody watches, change those things. Let me be my choice. They say you have to have 2 characters of number. I want 1 character number. I have 3. I have. They can't choose those things for me. But that's the way to walk. You can put in those passwords as long as you like. If it doesn't meet that criteria, that thing won't be taken. If after I finish preaching, you still want to be disobedient, continue. I'm not preaching again. I've used all the example in my head. Everything I have, I've given to you. I've run out of time. Thank you, Pastor. I'm tired. This thing is not hard. It's not hard. We just like trouble. We just like to do whatever we like. That's the real problem. Whatsoever I says for you to do, nudging in your spirit, please do it. Amen? I can go now, I can give you a point. This point I want to give you now is very sweet. So I want to give it to you so that you can be expecting something very terrible next week. You will definitely... You are definitely going to go through multiple trials and temptations. You are definitely going to go through multiple trials and temptations. That's step number 7. Perfect. Just falls at number 7. Definitely going to go through multiple trials and temptations. I will do this quickly because I am out of time. I want to drop the thoughts and then we will go. I'll just drop that. I don't think we'll read the scriptures. Let me drop the thought since I've given you that thought. Or we can do, can we do one scripture? I've said it. So you're definitely going to go through what? Multiple trials and temptation. Multiple, you can say multiple seasons. Sorry, seasons of trials and temptation. Multiple. Or multiple trials. It's okay. I will explain it. All right. Can I say something to you? So you obeyed. Right? Bam! And there's the Passover. The Egyptians you see today, you see them no more. Praise the Lord. The Red Sea you have not seen before, you will suddenly see it. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. They've not seen Red Sea before. They've seen Egyptians before. And we usually shout at that point. But the real thing is that there was a Red Sea they've not seen before. Multiple trials and temptations. I want to say this to you. This is the part many believers don't understand and appreciate. In your steps to the good things of God, you will cross one victory. Huh? And then you will be very happy. But I'm telling you, most assuredly, you will cross one hurdle and you get into victory. I'm telling you most assuredly, right, that there will be another hurdle in front of you. So after they obeyed God and they ate the bitter herbs and they roasted the meat, they did what they did not like, they tried, they obeyed. Guess what? Did they get victory? They got victory. They moved from that stuff and then they began to go. They released them, let my people go. They actually left Egypt. The miracle happened. They left Egypt. And you will think at that point they've gotten their victory. So no more challenge again in your life. No, after you finish one victory, after you finish one challenge, there's another challenge in front. I think believers always miss this point about these challenges. That's one thing. I think this is a very, I mean, this is going to be very powerful for us if we pay attention. After this one, there's another one. Let me read one scripture, one. I think this is very important, so I don't just run away without scripture. 2 Samuel chapter number 21, do this for us. Okay, so take note of this. Right? Are you here? Verse number 15. I will read. Say a thing or two, then I will go. I'm already out of time. Moreover, the Philistines had yet war. Come on. Again. Did you see again? With Israel. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Moreover, the Philistines yet had yet war again with Israel. And David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines. And David waxed faint. This is not Goliath Philistine, so he has finished Goliath before. He went down again to fight. Next verse. And Ishbibinov, which was one of the sons of the giants, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight. Let me see this, sorry. Let me see my verses so I don't go further. Whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight. He being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. Next verse. And Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, succored him and smote the Philistines and killed him. Then the men of David swore unto him, saying, thou shalt go no more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel. Next verse. And it came to pass after this, come on, after this, that there was again a battle with the Philistines at Gob. Is God with me? I thought God was with me. After I finished the Philistine battle that time, there was again, was again a battle. I thought my battles are over. Battles will never really be over. Then, see, which was the sons of the giants. I'm not interested in that. You know, I've told you before. Next verse. Is there anything you want to say against me? It's your business. And there was again a battle in Gob. It's not that Gob, we just fought battle again. Many believers are deceived. Many. The disillusioned. And the thing that again, I thought God has done it for me. He will keep doing it for you. And there was again a battle in Gob with the Philistines, where Elhanan, the son of Jeroari, Rejim, whatever, a Bethlehemite, slew the brother of Goliath. We dealt Goliath, his brother still came out again. The staff of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. Next verse. And there was yet a battle in Gath. All these battles, they don't used to finish. Does my battle not used to finish? I thought after we've left Egypt, we'll be free forever. You need to develop a relationship with God. You need to develop a relationship with your father. This one touch miracle, one touch thing that we will run for here and they won't work. Are you hearing what I said?
Yes,
you will continue having battles. After the Egypt have let you go, you will face a Red Sea. The Jesus you are seeing no more is now a Red Sea that you will see that you've never met before. Just know that. Know that. When the Bible says we are moving from glory to glory, it means we are moving from one battle to another battle. It never finishes. Someone says, so God will settle. He will finish. The devil will keep coming at you. I said the devil will keep coming at you. Once you gain one victory there, just expect another battle to come. And yet there was yet a battle in Gath. There was a man of great stature that had every hand 6 fingers. On every foot, 6 toes, 4 and 24 in number. He also was born to the giants. Next verse. And when he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimei, the brother of David, slew him. I mean, did you see how many battles there just now? David kept on battling and fighting the Philistines. They kept on fighting. So when the children of Israel left Egypt, because we missed the story, I want to give you a part of this story that you might have missed. When they left Egypt, after obeying God's instruction, they did all that, they left Egypt, they faced the Red Sea. After the Red Sea, it was over. It wasn't over. They faced another one again. You have to have a relationship with God. You have to understand what God wants from this thing. I've given you one, a relationship. Number two, He wants you to remember. You have to stay with me. Don't worry, that's next week. He wants you to remember. Remember. The Bible says it is from faith to faith. You say, so I'm going to be fighting battles, yet. But guess what? Guess what? You are supposed to remember that the God, He will always say, read your Bibles now, I am the God that brought you out of the land of Egypt. You know why He always says that? He took them far, but He will always refer them to, I brought you out of the land of what? Egypt. The God who did that thing for me, is the same God who will do this one again. Are you still in church?
Yes,
so when you are dealing with battles, I cannot pray for you in all sincerity that you will not face challenges. I cannot pray that prayer. The only prayer I can pray for you is that you will not forget the God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. You will not forget that in 2023 things were worse than this. And there was a time it was dark. And then you prayed and you relieved yourself and there was a mighty victory in your life. That is what I pray that you will not forget. So that when you face Goliath's brother, you will say, the same God who helped me defeat Goliath is still with me. Not, I pray for you that you will not face any more battles again. I can't pray that one. I would rather pray that you have a remembrance of the things that God has done in your life. Let me tell you, I still face challenges. We will still face challenges in our lives. As a ministry, you say ministry challenges are ended. I always thought as a certain place, ministry challenge will end. Ministry challenge never ends.
But I always remember the same God that helped me, I mean, paid our rent. First time we ever leased the property, paid the rent full. It's the same God that will help me to do anything I want to do again. I always remember, I was doing a project for one keyboard, and we were going to break ourselves and give for weeks to do that. And now I have project, that keyboard was 35,000 naira then. Never forget, 35,000 naira. We had to do a project to give 35,000 naira. We can spend the millions without thinking about it. Now, it is the same God that helped me that time that is still helping me now. I thought the time will come, ministry will become easy, everything will be running. No, you will still require God in your life because challenges will still come into your life. So don't be dismayed and don't be surprised when after you left Egypt, you see a Red Sea. It is a bad thing. It is a very bad thing for believers, very bad, very devilish. For believers to think, I know what I'm telling you now. Once they come out of Egypt, they are happy. Once they see Red Sea, you know what they do? In fact, they cannot backslide from Red Sea. From Red Sea. See, this one is even worse than the one before. Red Sea is sudden death. That one we were servants. This one is now sudden death. What did God require? He only required one thing. Remember, I am the God that brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Psalm 81 and verse number 10. Are you still here? Just remember the God that brought you out of that victory and you stand. So there's going to be constant constant battles in your life. After the Red Sea, it was over. You're always waiting for it to be over. Brothers and sisters. Eh? Have we? It will be over. No. Anybody can say otherwise. They are just lying to you. It will not be over. You will have a relationship with God. Huh? Then you will have the memory of what God has done. And after the Egypt, you will face the Red Sea that you never met before. You don't know how to deal with it. After the Red Sea, you will face the desert. That's why you sing the song, He makes a way in the desert. Desert, you can walk in circles, you won't even know. You will face desert. After the Red Sea, you will face desert. Desert is just one part of the story. There was no water. You will eat manna till you are tired. And you find that there's another challenge that you want meat. Challenges, they will keep coming. They keep coming for you. Because the devil won't stop. So, in that, what will you do? Number one, relationship with God. Number two, memory of what God has done. I'll show you more scriptures next week. Thank you, Father. Bow down your heads. Say, Father, we thank you. I thank you for today. I just want to take you on into that journey. And next week we'll look at it. But can we stop today and say, Father, I thank you. I thank you for your word. I'm walking in obedience. I make up my mind. Whatsoever. I'm ready to do the whatsoever. Come on. In the name of Jesus. It's the whatsoever. I'm obedient. My heart is open. Whatsoever you say for me to do, whatsoever I'll do. Come on, can you pray today? And say, Father, I thank you for your word. And I'm ready. I receive your word. I'm not going to analyze your word. I don't try to understand it. I understand. I know you are walking in my life. But I know I'm walking with you on the front end. You are walking in the back end. And I'm walking in the front end. I'm doing the things you asked me to do. The way you asked me to do them. He said, fill with water. He didn't say dilute the water with small wine. Fill it with only water. He says dip in the Jordan. How many times? 7 times. Specific instructions of my life. Father, be it unto me according to your word. Whatsoever you say for me to do, I'll do it. I'm ready now. Away with my own thoughts. Away with my ideas. Away with what I think it should be. I don't need to understand the connection. I don't need to understand the connections. It is your instructions and I'm ready to do it. Lord, I'm willing to do the whatsoever. Whatsoever. Lord, the things that you ask of me, I'm willing to do them. I may not like it. I don't really like this or like that. But I'm willing to do them.
Bitter herbs, I will eat it. Roast the meat, I will roast it. I will do according to what you have said. I don't like it. I don't see how it connects. I don't see how it connects. I don't see how it connects. Come on. Did they have to eat the meat? Did they have to eat it? If they had to eat it, why couldn't they eat it anyway? Why did they have to eat it roasted? Did they have to eat it with bitter herbs? Come on. Father, I don't need to understand it. I'm just going to do it. I don't need to like it. I'm just going to do it. Come on. Enter into your deliverance. Enter into your miracles by your obedience. Jesus, I know you are walking. I'm walking with you. I'm walking with you, doing my own parts. Come on. This time for you to pray. Say, Lord, obedience. I'm walking obedience. Shalalaba kalalama handish. Lilo loboko leleba. Every disobedience today marks an end to every disobedience. Today marks an end to every stubbornness. Today marks an end to every way I go in my own path. Every time I go in my own way. Today marks an end. I don't go in the way I've chosen for myself. I go in the way you have chosen for me. Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. The Lord just spoke to me. He said, forgiveness is not hard. The Lord spoke to me, just to somebody. He said, forgiveness is not hard. It's because you don't want to forgive the person. Not because it's hard. You have decided not to forgive that person. It's not because forgiveness is hard. People say forgiveness is hard. Forgiveness is not hard. Forgive that person now. Tell me, forgive that person now. There's no way you're holding on forgiveness. You say forgiveness, and you have been saying it's hard. I'm telling you clearly so that you don't miss it and say maybe it's my mind. It's not your mind. Forgiveness is not hard. It's because you don't want to. You just decide that if you hold it against the person, it will be sweet. It will punish the person. It will be wrong. And then it will be sweet. Then you will see. But forgiveness is not hard. You are trying to go your own way because you want to deal with that person. But God will deal with the person by himself. He will come out victorious. You will be delivered. When you choose that path of forgiveness, it's not hard. It's just a choice. Because you want to do it. Because you like it. You feel it's just. Thank you, Father. So I pray for you today. I pray that by the grace of this word, you will walk in your life. That you will begin to do the whatsoever. In the name of Jesus, I and they that God has given me, all of us, we walk in obedience. All of us will do the will of God. We will do the word of God. We will follow the instructions. In the name of Jesus, go to the Jordan, we'll go. Give to this person, we'll give. Forgive this person, we'll forgive. Be in this place, we'll be there. We'll do what you said for us to do. We'll walk in the front end. Father, we know you are walking in the back end. We know, he said, yes, the Lord is walking in our lives. And from today on, right now, we begin to cooperate with God. We need to walk with him in our lives. In the name of Jesus, the miracle is sure. Because the God who promised is able to perform it. And now he says, for the performance, I need to do this. Ah! Father Lord, today we make up our minds that we will do your word. Throw the nothing of your spirit in our hearts. In the name of Jesus. And Father God, as a people today, we say we're not saying next week, next month, we will start. Right now in our hearts, we make up our minds. We will get off from this place and do the things you have told us to do in the mighty name of Jesus. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray. And right now, I cast off the spirit of disobedience. The Bible talks about the spirit of disobedience that is in the sons of destruction. Ah, betu leke erede, ruma eke tosuna, lakuto liba esito telema. In the name of Jesus, I cast off the spirit of disobedience from over you. In the name of Jesus.
there's a spirit of disobedience. It works in the source of destruction. It doesn't work in your life. In the name of Jesus. You have the spirit that cries about Father. You have the spirit that says, yes, Lord. You have the spirit that says, yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. All of you, walking in obedience now. Doing and following His instructions. Without that understanding and clarity. No. We don't need clarity. We don't need understanding. We'll just do it. We'll do the whatsoever. You might not like it. It might not be the way we thought you would go. But you are the one walking behind and we are walking in front. If you say, move 2 steps, we move 2 steps. We are ready now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We are children of obedience. We are children of obedience. Thank you, Father. We do the whatsoever. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah.